And welcome to Red Rocks Church. Welcome to the final week of this teaching series called I Am. We've been taking a journey through the Gospel of John, looking at the seven I Am statements of Jesus. We just figured the best place for you to learn about Jesus is from Jesus. And so who remembers week one, the first I Am statement? Anybody? I am the bread of life. How about number two? I am the light of the world. Number three, the door. Number four, the good shepherd. Five, resurrection and the life. And then six, the way, the truth, and the life. And then today, the seventh and final, you might know it, but I want to let Jesus tell us. John 15, verse 5. This is red letters. Here we go. I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, though, you can do nothing. Encouraging and sobering. Remain in me, you will bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so this message, once again, is titled by Jesus, and it's called The Vine. The Vine. So Jesus, we love you. We just want to know you more. For the more we know who you are, the more we'll know who you made us to be, the more we'll live like you made us that way on purpose. Don't just give us information that makes us smarter today. We pray for revelation that makes us more like you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Tell somebody happy Master Sunday, and you can take a seat. Obviously, that's why I'm wearing green. Also for the vine. It's also important. And just Austin. Hey, let's illustrate this really quick. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch. If you remain in me, I'll remain in you, and you will live a life that bears fruit. Now, I think it's a fair question to ask, what does he mean when he says fruit? I think two categories. First of all, Galatians chapter 5 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, stuff like love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all the stuff everybody wants. Everybody's searching for that stuff. That's the things you're really trying to buy when you buy all the stuff that you buy. And Jesus says, if you just remain in me, I'll remain in you, and your life will naturally begin to fill up with all the stuff that really matters. And that verse goes on to say, against these things, there's no law, as if to say there's no limit. In other words, the ceiling is off to the amount of love and joy and peace and goodness you can walk in if you remain connected to the vine. But I think another category as well is the kingdom impact that outlives your life. So not just what God wants to do in you, but the fruit he wants to bring through you. So the eternities you played a part in changing, the prayers you prayed, the treasure you gave, the time you invested to building God's kingdom and not your own, the ways that maybe you lived on this earth, but you represented heaven by the way you walked and talked and served and forgave. And for some of you, maybe your greatest fruit is the children you're raising and what God's gonna do through them, and how incredible is that? That list, this is the stories people will one day tell at your funeral. This is all the ways our church will change the world and change our city. There's something that God put in you. I call it his signature on your soul. And you want to live a life for something that's greater than your own, for a story that's bigger than yours. God put that in you. And according to Jesus, the secret all comes down to one word, remain. In fact, he says it 11 times in one short chapter. We read verse 5. Let's read verse 4. Remain in me, and I'll also remain in you. If you're this guy's book editor, you're like, okay, you don't have to say it again. But he keeps saying it. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then he goes on to say it again. Remain in me, I'll remain in you. You do some remaining, and I'll do some remaining, and we'll bear a lot of fruit together. Just remain, because I am the vine, and you're the branch, which means by your very nature, no striving necessary, you will live a life that bears fruit. You've never walked past an orange tree and heard the branches just striving to pop out oranges. It's just by its very nature, it bears fruit by its design when it remains connected to the vine. And Jesus also says, but if you don't, this is the same branch. If you don't remain in me, you can't do anything. You know, just because you have a warm body doesn't necessarily mean that you're fully alive. and living fully awake. And I really think disconnected from a life source, this is what our lives begin to look like. In 2024, if Jesus was choosing a metaphor, he'd probably say something more along the lines of, I'm the charger, y'all are the iPhones. Doesn't matter how many fancy apps you got, if you're going on a trip, you can do nothing if you forget me. You're a branch. And what's amazing about branches, they have so much potential. Branches are packed with potential. It just doesn't matter if it's not connected to a source of power. Some of the best dating advice I've ever heard. Don't look at potential, look at patterns. Potential isn't special, you guys. Oh my gosh, he's got so much potential. Oh, cool. So does everybody else who has ever existed. God has put so much God-given potential in all of us. Who cares? Don't look at potential, look at his patterns. Look at her patterns. Because potential only converts into fruit, into something that impacts the world when it remains connected to, I'll say it this way, you wanna know where you'll find the most potential on planet Earth? Graveyards. Full of potential that never got converted into fruit. So much influence that never turned into impact. All that matters is, in the end, guys, is the fruit. Not the potential we, and I don't know about you, but I don't wanna take a drop of my God-given potential with me to the grave. I wanna be wrung out at the end of this life. Like Paul said, to live full and die empty. I'm not trying to live as if the goal of life is to arrive safely at death one day. I want all of my potential to be turned into the fruit of the Spirit that I experience, that people vicariously experience just because they're around me. I want it to be turned into impact that outlives my life. And I have a hunch I'm not the only one in this room who feels that way. And if I'm talking to you, don't overcomplicate this. There's one word for you to remember today. Remain. Just remain. What does it mean to remain? Y'all know who this guy is? If you got kids under 7, you know who this guy is. I have seen this movie so many times. This is Crush, the sea turtle from Finding Nemo. It's a fantastic documentary that I think is part of the Planet Earth 2 collection, just kind of follows the journey of a cartoon clownfish who crosses an entire ocean to find his son, stops at nothing. You know Finding Nemo preaches the gospel, the heart of a father, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of a God who chases me down and won't stop fighting until I'm found. You better believe I see Jesus in a tiny cartoon clownfish, okay? But I do have a problem with this movie. I heard a comedian, Ramesh Ranganathan, say it this way, and I went, yes, that's it. The problem is in the title, Finding Nemo. Why are we finding Nemo in the first place? Because Nemo didn't listen to his dad. I take issue with that. Because his dad told him on repeat, Nemo, don't wander off. Nemo, don't wander off. I'm like, Nemo, he warned you. But no, you had to touch the butt. If you know, you know. Just gonna put that in my pocket for the next relationship series. You had to touch the butt. You had to. He had to touch the boat. And now he gets himself fishnapped. And now we got 90 minutes of Nemo's dad, Marlin, crossing an ocean to find him with submarine explosions and shark attacks. And at the end of the movie, Nemo's dad is supposed to learn a lesson about chilling out? Like, back up, Disney. I don't think so. Get that out of my living room, right? If I'm the writer, the sequel's called Grounding Nemo. It's like, enjoy your fish tank, you little clown orange punk. This is cathartic for me. Can you tell how many times I've seen this? But this guy, all right, this is my hero. His name's Crush because he's crushing it. And the reason he's crushing it is because he spends all of his time in the East Australian Current. Now, if you remember the scene, Marlin almost dies from taking on the jellies, dude. Remember that? No, it's okay. I'll just be up here if you guys need me. Taking on the jellies, and he almost dies. And when he finally comes to, he's in the current with all the turtles, and he wakes up on Crush's shell, and then Crush turns around, and the camera kind of focuses on his face. And I know it's not a camera. It's drawings of a turtle, but it's more dramatic when it's like the camera focuses on Crush, and Crush says, "Welcome to the EAC, dude. You're riding it right now. welcome to the current. And what's amazing about this current to me is Marlin and Dory finding Nemo, they cross an entire ocean. It takes them the majority of the movie to cross the ocean about this far. But then as soon as they're in the current, they go the rest of the way in one turtle scene that's about 4.5 minutes long. And they're not even swimming. Like, the current is doing everything. And I think that current is a perfect metaphor for the life of a Christian when you remain in God, so to speak. When you remain in the current, if you will, of God's power with him as the source, I just believe you'll find yourself doing more, bearing more fruit, going further with less striving and more time and energy left over in the end. I swear, we make this whole Christianity thing so much harder than it has to be by doing it by ourselves, by trying to cross the proverbial ocean of life on our own. Jesus, save me, but it's on me from here. When Jesus is saying, no, 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 he describes life with him as an unforced rhythm of grace, almost like there is a cadence or a current to his kingdom, how he designed this to work. And he says, line yourself up with this, and you will find yourself bearing more fruit with less striving. And so the more you get to know the ways of God, first of all, the easier it'll be to discern the plans he has for your life. That's another sermon for another day, though. But the more you begin to understand this God's ways, the easier it also gets to discern what keeps me in this current and what takes me out of it. There are certain things that heaven and blessing are just drawn to. So honor and humility put me in this current. And stuff like gossip takes me out so fast. Stuff like pride takes you out so fast. It's like generosity puts me in with this abundant mindset that all of it's God's in the first place and he's got me. But then stinginess puts me out with a mindset of scarcity. And it's like sin keeps you out until repentance puts you back in. And let's make sure we're having the same conversation. This is not about salvation. I'm not talking heaven is in and hell is out. You're in, you're out. He loves you, he loves you not. This is not a salvation conversation. This is for Christians. This is a playbook for how to live an effective life. Because you can be saved and on your way to heaven and yet live a pretty ineffective life with minimal fruit and take most of your potential with you to the grave. I would say that's a common story. And this I am statement exists to make sure that it's not yours. It's the last of the 7 I am statements. Jesus and the disciples have the Last Supper. And then they finish and they stand up late at night. They leave the city and they head to the Mount of Olives because they will find lodging next to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is hours before Jesus will be arrested and crucified. And all of that's about to go down. Now, the first 6 I am statements Jesus made to large crowds filled with people who didn't know who he was. So those statements reference salvation. I am the door. I am the way to heaven. I am the resurrection. But this one, it's Jesus with his 12 disciples, or should I say 11, because Judas left dinner early, busy betraying him. And a lot of scholars believe they're on this walk to the garden. Late at night, they pass a vineyard. Jesus sees a vine and capitalizes on the moment to make a metaphor for his 11 closest followers. And he says, I want to tell you how to live a fruitful life. So let's read it. We read verses 4 and 5. Let's read 1 through 3. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. First of all, notice the Trinity at work here. Jesus saying, I am the vine, my Father's the gardener, the Holy Spirit is how you abide or remain in me, right? God the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he, big word here, prunes. Could do a whole series on this. Whatever that word means, it's not pleasant, but it is out of the love of a father who prunes us because he has more fruit he wants to bear in us and through us. If you feel like you're in a season of pruning, you have one job, remain. That good old-fashioned stick withness. That means there's a season of more fruit. Don't be so quick to go through it that you fail to grow through it and take something from it. God is the gardener. And by the way, if you've ever prayed that prayer, God, I want to be used in a big way, I'm just saying that's great. It's a dangerous prayer, though. because it also means you're signing up to be pruned in a big way. And I just think you should pray that with a sober mind so you're not complaining about answered prayers 2 years from now. God the Father prunes so that you will be even more fruitful. But then look at this, verse 3. This is so refreshing. You are already clean, you guys, because of the word I have spoken to you. So right there, he just did it. Jesus is establishing it, like right up front, before we go any further, if you believe in what I've done for you, you already have salvation. But how awesome is our God that your salvation in heaven forever is the tip of the iceberg and actually the starting line. And Jesus is going, okay, now that we have salvation taken care of, salvation actually sets into motion a journey beginning now of the good plans I have for you and the fruit that I want to bear within you and through you. This is not about heaven or no heaven. This is a playbook for how to live an effective life. The grace that saved you will also sustain you. Stay in the current. Remain in me. You're good. You're good because of what I'm about to go and do. I'm going to make sure of it. And bear in mind, Peter is present. And Peter is 2 hours away from denying Jesus 3 times. And Jesus is talking to Peter. Peter, you're good because of what I'm doing. Don't you dare think that you're too far gone for the grace of God. You're not that powerful. You're not that good at messing up. His grace is better. He has plans for you yet. Peter is proof of that. And the invitation is remain, because you have way too much God-given potential to take with you to the grave. So how do we convert that potential into something that actually matters? And once again, Jesus on repeat is going to give us the key. Remain in me. Remain in me. And I love the way an author by the name of John Mark Comer describes exactly what it is that we are remaining in. I love this. Notice once again the Trinity. To be with the Spirit is to be with Jesus, and to be with Jesus is to be with the Father. God is a Trinity. God is a community. We're community beings made in the image of a community being. God is the 3 best friends anybody could have, truly. That's God, the Trinity. But look at this. This is crazy to me. It's to enter the flow of love within the inner life of God himself. So we're invited. Forget every invitation you wanted but you didn't get that bummed you out. This makes up for all of it and more. The greatest, we're invited into the flow of love within the inner life of the Trinity. The Message will phrase it this way, Eugene Peterson: make your home in me as I make my home in you. Not only is Christ in you, you are in Christ. As a branch cannot bear fruit all by itself, but must remain part of the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. Make your home in me, and as you do so, I'll make my home in you, and you will just by your nature as a branch live a fruitful and effective life. Make your home. I love those moments in here. I don't know if you've had one recently. Maybe like it's been a week for you, and you come in here, and there's just a moment during worship, even 3 seconds, a sliver of heaven, kind of like your exhale where you go, this just feels right. Something feels right. I love people who are kind of new to this whole thing who don't have the language yet, and it's so raw and real, and I love it. And I'll talk to people who say, man, the vibes here, dude. Especially during worship, like Crush the Turtle showing up. Dude, the energy. Man, what is it? And I don't know what it is. All I know is when I leave here, I'm better for it. Let me give you language to what's happening. Your soul's coming home. Make your home in me. Your soul's coming home into the flow of love within the inner life of God himself. That's why it stands out to you. And by the way, it's always available to you. And your invitation, I should say, your calling is to remain in it, to be connected, not just close. My good friend Samara, she's one of the teachers for our welcome party. She tells this story. I love this story so much. 10 years ago, she was at a church in Southern California. And for the whole first year she was there, she kind of hid anonymously in the back. And I've been there too. I think we all have. And a year in, her friend, he's kind of now, probably most of your friends, his name's BJ, and he knows everybody. And he comes up to Samara to introduce himself. He says, hey, welcome to church. My name is BJ. How long have you been coming? She goes, a year. He goes, no, you haven't. She's like, yeah. He's like, no. I know everybody at this church. You haven't been here for a year. And she said it was like a beautiful revelation in that moment. And she said, I realized I've been close by, but I haven't been connected. And guys, this is the difference between close by and connected. This branch, close by the tree. This branch, connected to the tree. There's a psalm that says, plant yourself in the house of the Lord. Not just close by, but connected to it. My quick call to action for that will be that, like, today we're doing a short 15-minute welcome party after every single service. I want to invite you to that as soon as service is over. Ethan will tell you more about it right when this all finishes up. But for 15 minutes, man, just come and investigate a little bit and find out, is this the church I want to plant myself in? Because if it's not, you might as well find out now so you don't have to waste, like, more time. Because then we'll help you find a church where you can walk into that church and go, this is my home. Man, that's the point. Regardless of where it is, plant yourself in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord, but you need roots to tap into it. Don't just be close by, but be connected. Jesus is saying, remain in me as I remain in you. Amen? So with the rest of our time, I just want to give you two practical ways to remain. Or I should say, what does it mean exactly to remain? Here's number one. Remaining means being two places at once. That's all you got to do. Just be two places at once. There's a verse. I don't know if you're allowed to say this, but I've always hated it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I got it memorized. I don't even have to look. Pray continually. And the reason it always bothered me is because I'm like, but I don't do that though. What am I supposed to, like, build a prayer closet and never come out of it? Is anybody else doing this? Like, the ESV says, pray without ceasing. I'm like, what if I cease? I'm ceasing right now just thinking about all the ceasing I've been doing. Like, how do you pray without ceasing? When me and Ethan were 22 years old, we were youth pastor interns in Laguna Beach. And we, no wives, no kids, no church to lead, no rent. We live for free in a beach house, okay? And I promise you, I thought life was hard then. But every morning, we would grab surfboards and our Bibles, head down to the beach, and do like 3 to 5 hours of a quiet time with God. Now, if you're new around here, there's some Christianese, like a quiet time. What do y'all mean when you say a quiet time? Kind of even sounds like a punishment, like a timeout, doesn't it? You've been sinning? Well, go do a quiet time in the corner and just think about how much you love God. And don't come out until you do. But it's actually like just a daily discipline where you on purpose set aside a little bit of time, maybe with a Bible, some worship, or a journal, and you just kind of get, you kind of practice the presence of God, to quote Brother Lawrence. That's it. And so for me and Ethan, we had enough time that for 3 to 5 hours a day, we would do that. And I remember one conversation with him specifically. We were so, oh man, I feel like if you could kind of do Christian maturity, like K through 12, like K is when you get saved, and then first grade, you kind of start getting a grip on like half a book. And then, like, there comes a point for all of us where we start to think, man, this church just ain't deep enough for me, man. I need something. And it seems like it's 11th grade, but it's actually like second or third. That's where we were thinking, doesn't seem like anybody else is as deep as us, remaining the way we are. Even the guys who lead the church that we intern at, they're not doing this. Like, maybe we should lead the church, you know? I'd give anything to go back to being an intern youth pastor. But I realize, if I could say it this way, oh, they can't because they have lives, and I can because I get 2 emails a day. But how do you pray without ceasing when you have an inbox to manage? For the rest of us in this room, and mouths to feed, and kids to raise, and bills to pay, and tests to study for, and a boss to answer to, and groceries to shop for, and dinner to make, and traffic to sit in. How do you pray without ceasing? Easy. You just be two places at once. That's all you do. But before you ignore the rest of what I'm about to say, listen to this, because John Mark Comer makes this point that when Jesus asks us to remain, he's actually not asking us to do anything we're not already doing. All of us remain all the time. The only question is where. All of us have sources that we continually connect to. An emotional home we run back to. It's where your body goes when you have a little bit of free time. It's where your mind drifts to when you're not busy. It's where all your money goes after you're done paying the bills. And where you remain determines the fruit you will bear for better or for worse. And so just to kind of highlight maybe three places so many of us love to remain in, or we make kind of our emotional home. If the place you return to is infinite scrolling and TikTok or Instagram, it will slowly but surely form you into a more angry and anxious, comparison, addicted, distracted, and insecure version of you. That's the fruit. If the place you return to all the time, hours a day, is streaming, whether it's Apple TV or Max or Hulu or whatever it is, it will slowly but surely form you into a more restless, a more lustful version, a lazy version, a mindless version of you. That's the fruit that it will bear. If the place you constantly, the mindset you always remain in is that of self-indulgence, or I always just kind of return to another little bit of fleeting momentary happiness, another drink, I run back to another pill or a little bit more pornography or another purchase or another binge or another hookup. Over time, it will form you into an addicted and compulsive version of you that can no longer find joy in the present moment or delay gratification in your life at all, feeling more and more hopeless today because you're losing vision, long-term vision of the fruit God wants to bear in your life. Wherever you remain determines the fruit that you bear. All of us return to something. All of us remain. All of our hearts have a home. Jesus is simply saying, make me that home. And all the fruit you really want to bear in your life. I'm convinced the reason we sin, whether it's sinful stuff or even just the common stuff, like hours on Apple TV, is because just for a moment, it gives us like a taste of like the counterfeit version of the fruit of the Spirit. It's like so close, but so far. And Jesus is saying, everything you're really looking for, remain in me. And by your nature as a branch, it will simply just happen. So just be two places at once. You start to learn how to be at the gym and be with God at the same time. You start to learn how to be clearing an inbox and practicing the presence of God at the same time. You start to learn how to be in your car or picking your kids up from daycare or cooking dinner and yet remaining in the vine at the same time. I'm in my car, but I'm with Jesus. I'm at work, but I'm also kind of with God. I'm out with my friends, but I also just have more awareness of the Holy Spirit. I'm here, but I'm also with him. I am two places at once because I can't do a three-hour quiet time on the beach anymore. Every day. I got a family. I got a church to lead, right? So here's what a day now looks like for me. Early mornings, because they just stir my affection for God. That's a good strategy at some point. Just make a list of the things that stir your affections for him and the things that just kind of drift you away from him, and get less and less of this and more of this. Early mornings for me. And in my backyard on my patio, just 15 minutes of a quiet time. Couple verses. Just practicing God's presence and kind of just joining in with what God is doing. And you know, there's a verse in Genesis that describes a day not as from morning to evening, but as from evening to morning. I love that. In other words, when you woke up this morning, your day didn't start then. The day, biblically speaking, started last night when you went to bed. So when you wake up, you're not inviting God to join your day as much as you're joining in with what he's already been doing while you've been sleeping. There's a current that is already there. And if you can bookend your day with that sort of quiet time, then in between all day long, over the years, here's what's happening. I just find myself like thinking about him more. I'm about to make that purchase. Hey God, what do you think about this? About to have that conversation. Hey God, by the way, I'm just grateful for this. And just thinking about him more and more. I'm here, but I'm also more aware. We call it mindfulness today. That's a buzzword. We got that from John 15. Mindfulness of the presence of God in your life. And before you know it, you're two places at once. You're here and you're with him. Amen? And then number two, remaining means playing the long game. Because we overestimate what we could do in a year, and we dramatically underestimate what God could do in us and through us in 5 or 10 or a lifetime if you simply remain. Because remaining implies time, does it not? Anything is possible for God if you give him enough time. Can you play the long game? I want to show you this graph. This concept is so near and dear to my heart because of my own life and because of hundreds of pastoral meetings I have with y'all, all right? There is a correlation between the time remaining and the fruit you bear. And in your life, you will have a few hundred graphs that you live out. So this graph is the marriage that you're building. It is the community you're cultivating. The friend group that you're loving. This is the habit you're forming. This is the career you're building. This is the church you're planting yourself in. And what you have to see, there is a direct correlation between your time remaining and the blessing that you experience. And I want to just pastor you for a moment because, and I'm example A, right? Exhibit A. Our generation, and I mean kind of by and large, all of us, our generation is nomadic in an adventurous way, which is good. But I think even more so in a restless way because we're searching for something and we're discontent wherever we find ourselves. Meanwhile, social media and Hollywood are kind of promising us the magic is in the next new city. And the grass is greener over the next new horizon. That's where you'll find it, what you're looking for. The next city. It's in the next job, the next marriage, the next relationship, the next church, the next career. The next thing is so sexy until you get there, but you don't know how to be there because you don't know how to remain. And the future you've been romanticizing once again becomes the present you are disenchanted with. And I guess my fear for so many of us is we will only ever experience the very beginning of 100 different graphs. And you will never know the significance of the long game because I'm telling you, the magic you're looking for is it's in the ground deep beneath your feet, not over the next horizon. The only question is, can you remain long enough to put roots down deep enough to tap into it? And you know, I get it. Like, life happens for all of us. And also, God is a God of the new thing who all throughout Scripture is calling men and women to the next new thing. And you might be in one of those seasons right now. I know a few of you specifically who are. And obedience for you looks like following God over the mountain into the next new thing. All I'm saying is, I think we're really good at running that play. And we're scared or terrified to run this play of remaining because of discontentment or lack of trust in God. Of, man, what if I, and what's at stake here is fruit, you guys, is what you're looking for over that mountain. That's what's at stake here. Can you give God enough time? Because to us, a year is like so long. God, it's been a year. How much longer do you need? It's so long. And to the God who was here before the beginning and started the beginning, he goes, is it though? Is it? A year. God, I say this all the time. We want our fruit Amazon primed to us, you know? I'm just saying fruit worth having takes time to grow. Give God enough time. God, I did sit-ups yesterday, ate a kale salad today for lunch with intermittent fasting. It was terrible. No six-pack yet. Been at this Dave Ramsey total money makeover for 5 months. It's been 5 months since I've had avocado toast or a latte. How much longer do I got to live like nobody else right now so I can live like nobody else later or whatever it is? Like 5 months? When am I going to arrive? You will never arrive if you don't know how to abide. You know how to arrive at a new job. Do you know how to abide in one? You know how to arrive in a new relationship. Do you know how to abide in one? Because contrary to what the brochure is telling you, the magic is not over. The grass isn't greener over there. It's greenest where you water it. But to water it, you need to remain Ask anybody who understands the stock market. The future doesn't belong to the lucky or the talented. It belongs to those who can simply remain. Remain. Me and Sam are coming up on 10 years of marriage, which is crazy. Thank you. I didn't say it for the applause, but that feels good. 10 years, kind of hard to believe. Here's what I want to get real for you, get real with you for a moment. Because authenticity, I think, just sets all of us free. And unless you believe our marriage is perfect and yours isn't, let me just prove you wrong and give some hope to you. Because I just have a gut feeling maybe there's a couple, and maybe a young married couple, and you quietly are each kind of asking yourself, is this the rest of my life? And maybe you're even wondering, do I need a new marriage? I want to say to you, I think you do need a new marriage with the same person and a new mindset that begins today, that plays the long game, that if you keep praying prayers and sowing seeds and going to counseling and fighting, remember that graph. Fruit worth having takes time to build. I don't want a marriage that's an overnight success. I want to build a marriage that's strong and fruitful over time. Same with our church. I don't want to be an overnight success in this city. I want to build a church that's strong and fruitful over time. So for me and Sam, getting married 10 years ago, guys, we actually never had a honeymoon phase. We never did. I always feel like everybody does. And for us, we got back from our real honeymoon, and the next day it got hard, like really tough. For a few years, it was, is this the rest of my life? And on her end, it was severe depression that led to a lot of apathy. You know how marriage kind of brings all that stuff out that even wasn't there before. And then for me, on my end, it was frustration that started to turn into anger and a lot of grudges and a lot of bitterness and a lot of, and just, man, is this how it's gonna, and I want to say to you, like, we have so many weaknesses. I could give a whole sermon on our weaknesses. The one thing I will say, maybe the thing I love most about my wife, once again, if you're looking at patterns and not potential, she ain't going anywhere. She's not going anywhere. And I can say the same, I'm not going anywhere. So regardless of if the graph's here or the fruit on the graph is here, we are in this thing for the long run. And if you keep fighting, and if you can stick it out, if you can let God have enough time, I'm just telling you, real fruit worth having takes time to bear. It really does. And so whatever season you're in, right, maybe it's a marriage. Maybe I am specifically talking to you. Maybe it's like a season of infertility, or maybe it's a season of where I'm in this job, but I hate this job, and I know God's calling me to this. And sometimes it just feels like there's something standing in between you and the real plans God has for you. Maybe it's the season you're in right now. Can I just give you some new language and flip it for you? What if that's not in the way, but rather on the way? And what if God's doing something in you because he's about to do more through you? Or maybe even like a pruning process where you remain and he is doing a deep work that you're going to need. It's like the Israelites going through the wilderness. They had manna because the manna prepared them to steward the blessing of the milk and honey in the promised land. This is not in the way. It is on the way. And in Jesus' name, there is something after this. Play the long game and give him enough time. I'm telling you, that is the recipe for a fruitful future. Can you play the long game? Because I had a conversation 1 month ago with Sean and Jill Johnson, the senior pastors of this church. And not only for me and Sam are they great friends and our pastors and bosses, but for us as far as marriage goes, they're the North Star. We want that. And I almost cried when he said it because I had been thinking it for years and didn't tell him. And he said, when I was asking him questions, he said, me and Jill, actually, we didn't have that honeymoon phase. As soon as he said that, he said, we are 24 years into marriage. And no, not a word of a lie. He said, we are just now in our prime. We are now in like that honeymoon phase is starting to be cultivated. I'm talking as far as like intimacy and friendship and passion and fun and depth. We are just now hitting that prime. And that gave so much life to me, confidence and maybe confirmation of a word God gave me in a prayer I've been praying. God, our honeymoon phase that I wanted is actually gonna be a honeymoon era in front of us. We just need to give you enough time and remain and keep putting roots down and keep waking up in the morning and saying good morning to each other before we grab our phones and keep planning date nights and keep fighting for every last bit of friendship and fun in our marriage and keep at it and keep sowing seeds and you mix that with just enough time. I'm telling you, there is no limit to the fruit God can bear in your life and through your life. Everything you're searching for isn't found over there. It's found when you just remain connected to the life source and do what you can today to get in that current and stay in it. Amen? Remain, remain, remain. Because even now, I used to get so impressed when people would take big leaps of faith and start stuff. Like leave that job and follow that calling. And I love that story. And it is beautiful. It's amazing. The older I get, I'm like, I'm less and less impressed with that. What I'm impressed with, because anybody can start stuff. I'm like, who can finish it? And who can remain? And who has the grit to endure and take heart and be pruned and get to... was at a wedding just like a few months ago, and on the dance floor where the DJ says, if you've been married for longer than 45 minutes, stay on the dance floor, and the bride and groom have to leave. Okay, longer than a year, longer than 5 years, and eventually everybody is leaving, and then there's one couple left married for 58 years. And just go, man, how is that possible? Well, easier said than done, okay. But the answer is so simple. You remain. You just remain. You remain. And it might be like the least sexy topic you can preach about nowadays to this generation, but I think it is the number one thing standing in the way of you now and the fruitful life that you want. Play the long game. Two places at once. I'm here, but I'm also with God, practicing his presence. I am the vine. You are the branch. Remain in me. I'll remain in you, and you will bear fruit. Amen? Will you stand? We're going to finish this I Am series the right way. This whole thing's just been about God. And here's what we're going to do. We're actually about to sing two worship songs. And these worship songs, follow me here, actually have nothing to do with what God can do for you. They're just about him. And you'll read these lyrics and sing them, and you will find yourself nowhere to be found. And it's my sincere hope and prayer that as you get lost in the wonder of his glory and the way he loves you, that you won't notice or even care. And you'll just want him magnified in your life. And you know how we all kind of like, we all dream and we all have desires that God placed in our heart. We all have prayer requests and the fruit that God, I want you to do it this way in my life. Like I want this city and this person and this kind of job and I'm praying for this. And I think God loves that. He loves that. He put that in you. My challenge for you over the next 12 minutes is to take that fruit basket vision, so to speak, and make that your sacrifice. And just not cling to it the way you maybe normally do. He's your father. He knows it. Trust him with it. And instead, make what you cling to just be him. The vine. Because there's a difference between thinking about God and thinking about all the ways he can use you. There's a difference between thinking about God and thinking about the fruit he could bear through you. A difference between thinking about the blesser and the giver and thinking and praying for the gifts and the blessing. And all of it's good, but one thing is great. And I think you'll find yourself walking out of here thinking, that blessed me so much, that blessed my heart so much, just focusing on him. But I also want you to get this picture in your head, that 12 minutes from now, another conversation's happening among the Trinity where the Trinity is saying, that 12 minutes at Red Rocks, that blessed me. Because they just wanted me. They just sang to me. So offer that as your sacrifice and get lost in his glory and love. And just for this moment, it's not about what he can do for you. It's about just who he is. God, just who you are. You are beautiful, Jesus. And we can't help but praise you. So God, we love you. And we focus not on what you can do, but on who you are. Thank you for being the great I am. The God who was and is to come. The Alpha, the Omega, everything in between. Thank you for being the bread of life, the light of the world, the door into heaven, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for being the vine and our source. Right now, we remain in you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.